Hello and welcome everybody to another episode from our podcast 1000 Years of Beer, presented by the World's Oldest Brewery, Wein Stefan. As always, I welcome you, brand ambassador of Wein Stefan, Matthias Ebner, and with my colleague Anton. Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, good, thank you. And yes, welcome to everybody out there. Because this time, we always have special episodes, but this time is a...
Exclusively,
but this time it's a special episode because the both of us are very, very fond of this product that we are about to discuss. And yeah, you'll find out in a second what this is.
It's about actually one of my most favorite traditional Bavarian, Austrian, Alpine dishes ever. And it's, for me, one of the perfect snacks you can have in the morning or can have in the evening. It's a 24-hour snack. It's easy approachable. It's easy consumable. It's super tasty. It's the manifestation of taste and easiness and wonderful pairing to beer.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's actually a cult product of the Bavarian Alpine cuisine.
Yeah. And I mean, you probably guessed it already since we already covered the Obatz, the cheese dish, and the Weißwurst, the white sausage. We already covered those topics. So I think you guessed that it's about Leberkäse, meatloaf.
Bavarian meatloaf, kind of meatloaf. We will get into that a little bit deeper later because it's actually not a meatloaf, but it's the easiest way to describe it in English because Leberkäse is... If you translate it word by word, means liver cheese.
Yep.
But the problem is no liver in it and no cheese. Well, it depends. At the Käse-Leberkäse, there is cheese in it, but actually, no.
So if you add a cheese to liver cheese, if you call it cheese liver cheese, then all right, this is getting out of hand now.
Yes.
But you know, since Matthias and I are both not in the profession of being a butcher.
Yeah.
We talked to an expert beforehand in the German version because it was way easier in German to describe all these things. We talked to him directly.
Yes.
And so we took this piece of information or these pieces of information we gathered from that discussion and made out an English episode for this topic.
Yes.
And we talked to Steffen Schütze, who is a butcher at Butcher Hack in Freising. And he is one of the most innovative butchers there are in Germany.
Yes, definitely here in the region and also maybe all over Germany. So he has a very modern and innovative approach to a very traditional craft. And so he's actually not here from Freising or Bavaria. He came from Leipzig, which is in the eastern part of Germany. And he's now 41 years old. And actually, he moved from Leipzig to Freising because of some private issues. Because he moved with his girlfriend.
Love.
He moved with his girlfriend down here to Freising from Leipzig and was looking for a job, actually. And so he found the job offer as an apprenticeship at the local butcher. He went there, applied for it, got the job, and learned there the craft and the work of a butcher, of a German butcher, and I guess the owner of Metzger Hack then retired.
Yeah.
And there was actually no family member who took over the butcher shop, and so Steffen did it.
Yeah, and he took over in 2008, and back there, you know, the butcher has another, or the butcher's base from Butcher Hack is in Haag an der Amper, which is a couple of miles outside of Freising here. So Butcher Hack in Freising was actually just the outside base. And and when Steffen took over, the business grew and grew by a lot. And a couple of years later, he had some innovative ideas how to expand his business, right?
Absolutely. And that's so fascinating because he actually has told us that he was first not so. He has no connection to the job and to the craft as a butcher, and then grew into it with learning the job and getting the education. And today we can say he's absolutely a full heart a butcher here, not just in Freising, also in Germany.
Incredibly passionate about his craft.
Totally, totally.
Yeah. Like you are with beer.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. That's why I recommended doing that with Steffen Schütze, because we know now for a few years each other, and I adore his products, all of them, and especially the Lieberkäse. But actually, we get to know each other on a different occasion and on a different thing, because we're told he is a very innovative butcher, and that's absolutely true, because he thinks a lot outside the box, and he started to think about the Bavarian white sausage. So we had it in another podcast episode, the Weißwurst, and he thought that white sausage in a new way. So he just thought about taking the meat and the recipe, making those white sausage, and maybe why don't do a burger patty, making out of it a burger patty, yeah, and instead of a pretzel, making a pretzel bun, and instead of a burger sauce, just use the typical white sausage mustard, and he created a white sausage burger.
Yeah.
And instead of forming the meat as a sausage, he forms it as a kind of burger patty. And with that, he gained a lot of attention, not just here in the area, also in Bavaria, but also yeah, it makes him actually pretty successful. And this was in 2014 when he brought it onto the market. He also was invited into the German parliament and to cook there his white sausage burgers. And there also Weinstefan poured some beer. And I was there to pour some beers. I worked at the time there at the university, and there was a special beer from the science brewery, from the research brewery, and we put there next to his white sausage burgers. And yeah, there is where Steffen and me met.
So where the connection comes
started
from.
Yeah. 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 And I was totally amazed by this product, because this pretzel bun and then the white sausage burger, it works out very well, and was a different way to enjoy that kind of classic Bavarian piece of meat and food. And yeah, so he gained a lot of attention. I guess this helps him a lot to gain also his business here in the area.
Definitely, definitely. And people know that he rethought the whole concept of being a butcher, and he's not only
traditional, but also thinks
out of the box.
Thinks out of the box, that's, and thinks way in a new direction.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he also created a vending machine for barbecue, which was kind of a
new thing here.
Yeah, a new thing, and it came out of the situation that he always got calls on Sunday that you have to have some meat for us. We didn't go grocery shopping yesterday, so
because
help us out
there
here.
Are no supermarkets or shops open in Germany on Sunday.
Exactly,
so you need to know
exactly
that. So
we need to emphasize,
there's no supermarket, there's no butcher open on a Sunday in Germany, or especially here in Bavaria.
Exactly.
So from Saturday noon to Monday morning, there is no butcher open.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And so he invented this vending machine just to get some free time on the weekend, because he always gets phone calls in the summertime like, hey, Steffen, do you have some meat for us for barbecue?
Yeah.
And so he wants to prevent that with making this vending machine.
Yeah. Yeah,
where you can just get your sausages and get your steaks.
And on the one side, he's very modern and innovative, but on the other side, and that's where we get back to our product here now that we talk about the traditional beer snack.
Yeah.
There's also these classic products like Leberkäse, like this Bavarian meatloaf, that is one of the most traditional snacks you can get in Bavaria.
Yes, absolutely. And it is more like also like the white sausage, more like a holy thing. You know, it's a very traditional. People like to have it in a bun. Yeah. So as a kind of burger snack, you would say, but just put it in the middle of a bun and eat it that way. But you can also eat it cold, you can eat it plain, you can eat it grilled. So there are a few ways to prepare it. But the classic way is to have a Semmel, which is a classic German Bavarian white bread bun, and put the Leberkäse as a warm slice in it and eat it. And it's actually the perfect snack for the morning till the evening or in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Even if you go home after celebrating or something and you have a Leberkäse at home,
Or like I did when I was younger, before I moved to Freising, I lived a few months in Vienna, and there you have like this 24/7 snack stands And when you're going up there in the night and then like at 3 in the morning, you're like, I guess I need now a warm Leberkäse bun.
So I think I have to go to Vienna.
Yeah. 24/7 Leberkäse.
All right, sounds all like paradise to me.
It is. And so, and actually it's one of our favorite snacks, I would say.
Most definitely. I mean, you of all know that a lot of people are curious about these kind of things. And for us, it's totally normal. I mean, we've grown up with these kind of dishes. And yes, for us, it's everyday life. But everywhere you go on your travels, people ask you about this. I mean, what is this? Is it a lot. What is in there? And, yeah.
You know, and how can they imagine it?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's hard to give an actual explanation for it. And that's why we talked to Steffen Schütze,
He educates us, actually. I learned a lot in our German episode. I learned a lot. And he educates us a little bit about how is it made and what's all behind it. And yeah, we
try to pass that knowledge on to you. Yes. And let me start by talking about the name.
Yes.
Because we already established that in Leberkäse, liver cheese, there's no liver and no cheese in it.
Yes.
So where does the name originate from? And that's the first part where we cannot give a correct answer. We can only assume what happened.
Yeah.
And Leber, the first part of the word, is supposed to come from Leib, which means loaf, like a loaf of bread, like a loaf, like meatloaf, which is due to the shape of this particular dish.
Yeah.
And the second part, cheese, Käse, which literally translates to, is also from the shape or... What Steffen told us might be that there's the structure of the Leberkäse with its little holes in it, like really, really tiny holes. You can't compare it literally to cheese, but these holes are way smaller. But people still thought, all right, this might be another reason why they would call it cheese.
Yeah.
And so put that together, it's basically loaf cheese, Leberkäse. So that's... I know it's a little bit far-fetched, but that is the best explanation we could find, and the one that got actually confirmed to us by the butcher. But he can also only assume, but because the origin of the word is not really that well-known.
Yeah, because in other parts of Germany, it's not called Leberkäse, it's called meat or Fleischkäse, meat cheese.
Yeah.
So Leberkäse is only in Bavaria or in Austria the name for it. So that's why they can say, well, it depends that it comes from the form, so that it has the form of a loaf and not from liver.
Yeah.
So that's for sure. But the cheese part of the word, difficult to explain.
And who knows? I mean, there might have been at some point butchers who put liver in it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It might be that.
Yeah, but he
said stuck with it.
Maybe in the older days, but today actually not.
Yeah.
So today there's in there pork meat, there is beef meat, bacon, and ice, of course. And then that's the basic ingredients. Some butchers do it without the beef meat, so it makes cheaper. But there is, you can determine in the quality if it's high or low. So high quality Leberkäse normally has also beef meat in it.
Yeah.
All these ingredients, it depends on the regional, also on the local butcher recipe. You put in a grinder and with the ice, and then you kind of grind it and mix it until it has a cake batter-like texture. The same way as you make also the pre-working for a sausage.
Yeah.
The sausage, you put them into a skin, and then you boil it or you smoke it. Then you have a sausage. The Leberkäse, you don't have a skin on it. You don't put a natural or artificial skin on it. You just form it in that bread-like
shape.
Loaf shape.
Yeah.
And then that's the biggest difference to maybe, let's say, a sausage. That's... you bake it.
Yeah.
Put it in the oven in that shape, form, and you bake it.
Exactly. And, you know, this... Don't try it now at home because it most certainly won't work out because the most... Every butcher has his secrets.
Of course.
And these are the spices.
Yes.
I mean, we kind of, like, tickled Steffen a little bit and shook him and checked what maybe a secret will fall out of him. But he told us that there's salt, pepper, nutmeg, cardamom, and, you know, regional spices like cinnamon, some of them even. But like it is with beer and brewers, every butcher thinks they have the best Leberkäse, and they are very, very hesitant in giving out the recipes, which we are too when it comes to our beers.
That's true. I talked to Steffen about because that's the same like Bavarian breweries, the same like Bavarian butchers, all do have Leberkäse. Yep. Every butcher here in Bavaria, I would give you a 99% guarantee that they have white sausages in their portfolio and that they have Leberkäse. And that's with a Bavarian, and that's the same with a Bavarian brewery. They all have a Helles and they all have a wheat beer.
Yeah.
And when two brewmasters meet, or whatever, you know, they taste the Helles and the wheat beer of each other, because that's how you say, okay, there you get as an expert a glimpse into, does he know his craft or not?
Yeah.
And that's the same. And we ask if it's the same with the butchers. So when the one butcher meets the other in his shop or whatever, that they are kind of like, can we say that the Leberkäse is such a iconic product in a butchery, in a Bavarian butchery, that another butcher would taste your Leberkäse to say, or to get an impression, are you good in your job or not? And then Steffen said, yes, it's kind of a flagship. So the Leberkäse is a flagship of every butchery here in Bavaria. And he also does it. He goes, when he meets other butchers, it's like this kind of basic craft every butcher needs to do. And
basic
so he,
quality
yeah,
check.
Yeah, basic quality check. And very interesting was how he is kind of checking the quality.
This is the end of part one. Find out in part two what butchers and brewers have in common and much more.